Welcome back to the Take Cave. We've got a great episode for you coming up. It is Tuesday, May 4th. May the 4th be with you to all my Star Wars listeners. Travis is actually a huge Star Wars fan, by the way. We've got a big episode coming up with an interview with recurring guest of the year, Kevin Doyle, former QB at Arizona. And he's actually now in the transfer portal. He's got a lot of options from east to west coast, from the SEC to the mountains, to the north, to the south, everywhere. We don't know where he's going yet, but we talked about with him that and just the NFL draft. He gives a lot of great insight as a player, as well as some personal stories, just living out in Arizona. Rob Gronkowski visited him recently, so stick around for that. And we're actually going to lead off with King and Clown, like we do every week. So yeah, without further ado, let's roll.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double check does what the
Here to hang with Ohio State. I'm here to beat Ohio State.
In the end zone. Barkley touchdown.
I think I got my swagger back.
You play to win the game.
Hello?
His very first move as the executive was to sign Lamar Odom, who was on crack.
The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. But they are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Benjamin, guys, he's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
I'm not fucking leaving.
The show goes on!
So obviously, like, the big thing from the weekend was the NFL draft. And in the interview with Kevin Doyle, we pretty much completely addressed that. So we're not going to touch on that much at all at the beginning. I mean, maybe a little bit in King Clown. I don't know what D-Rock's Kings or Clowns are. But yeah, with the interview with Kevin, it was very thorough. Like, it was a great interview. Hope you guys tune in. One of the best ones, I think it was the best one we've done with him, and we've done many with him. So it's just awesome to, like,
better and better
about
and
his
better
journey. Got to hang out with Gronk. He did some awesome things in Arizona. So looking forward to his next chapter. So that's just an awesome interview. And we do touch on most stuff there, but let's get into King and Clown.
Yeah, we'll save the draft a little for later on with Kevin. I'll start with my king. I've got one this week. I'm going to go to the NBA. My king is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Thunder up. We are tanking like nobody's business right now. We got blown out by like over 60 points, 50 points the other day. And we actually had a close one recently, but we finally pulled it out, 123 to 120. We're looking good. We have the 5th overall pick in the draft right now if it ended today, and we're in a neck-and-neck race to lose versus the Orlando Magic. Everyone knows it's tough to play in Orlando, so hopefully they pull out a couple wins and we can continue to tank and we go get Jalen Green in the draft.
Yeah, that's definitely a great plan. I'm in for, like, anybody we draft, I'm all in. You know, I'm not going to be mad. I trust Presti. I trust what he's done with the picks. I don't care if he picks some guy who's projected to be in the second round. You know, like, I'm going to buy in. I think we're going to make a good pick. I'm excited for what's upcoming with all these picks and cap space we're going to have. I think the next decade for the Thunder is going to be bright.
It is. And the Thunder don't get free agents, so we have to build from within. And we've got the best to do it at the helm. We've got Sam Presti, as you mentioned. I'm telling you, I really think we're going to get Jalen Green if we can just get past the Magic. And I think that's the piece we need. It's between Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga from the Congo.
Kumwanga.
Sorry, I'm not great at the pronunciation. Both guys have been playing in the G League.
I know who Jalen Green is. I know who Jalen Green is, but for the fans that don't, could you tell me who he is?
He's a G League prospect right now. My high school basketball coach had the honor of coaching him while he was still in high school when he was number 2 overall prospect, and he said,
"So
he was
if we draft him, can
with.
We have your coach on?"
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. Get Coach Arch back in the mix. Someone who has not been on the podcast yet.
Okay. I mean, that'd be just such an awkward interview.
Oh yeah, it would be. It would. We'd have to talk about that later. But yeah, do you have a king?
Yeah. So my king is Kentucky Derby horse trainer Bob Baffert. He trained the Medina Spirit, and this is his 7th Kentucky Derby win. So the cool thing about Baffert, I think that's how you say his name. I'm not big into horse racing, so I don't know that much about it. But So he started out as like a trainer, and he would take these like low end like horses that were like worth like nothing, and he made them into like Kentucky Derby champions, I think like two or three times. And then after that, he built up like such an image for himself that he was able to get like people were like, oh, like imagine if he can get his hands on like these great horses. And then he did. And that's like what you saw with like American Pharoah and some of the other big time winners that he's coached. But for Medina Spirit, this horse was actually one like a cheap horse. It's like back to old times of how he used to like train his horses. So like this is a great Cinderella story.
$1,000.
What? Yeah, $1,000. It's just an awesome story to like see. Like it's like seeing like a small town guy go big and win, and then come back home and win one. Like LeBron coming back to Cleveland to win one.
Or like me going back to the Suez Canal, something like that, right?
Yeah.
That is a good pick. I think he got the record with this race. And as you said, it's very fitting. He ties it all back doing it with a cheap horse. We actually, if you remember, we picked on the last show who we think is going to win. And I gave you the opportunity. I said, so you're taking Medina Spirit? And you said, nope, let me look at the horses again. And then you picked the wrong horse. Do you remember that?
No, I remember that. I don't remember you saying Medina Spirit. I was zoning you out because I was looking at the horses, and then I said Known Agenda. And this whole weekend, I was like, yeah, I think Known Agenda is gonna win. So that was my bad. I should have been paying attention.
Yeah, you should have been paying attention. A lot of important stuff there. All right, do you have any more kings?
No, I don't have any more kings.
All right, I'll jump into my first clown then. And it is a preemptive clown. It's Hometown Chives. The year is close to ending. And as we all know, Chives gets a little harder to get in touch with once he goes back to his hometown, Lancaster, LS High School. So Chives, can you give us like a quota or standards that I can hold you accountable to when you go home?
Yeah, I feel really confident in myself going home this time, you know. Like it's happened enough. I'm ready to change my ways. I think that we're going to be like on a good schedule. Only thing that concerns me is not this coming weekend, but the one after. I'm going turkey hunting and I don't have any like signal up there, and I'm leaving on Thursday. So maybe we can record on Wednesday.
Okay. Well, yeah, we can talk about that, I guess. You're going to have to come back with some footage though. I think we got to, could we get like a,
yeah,
I don't
we'll
know.
We'll talk about that next week before I go. I mean, I've never shot a turkey. I really think this is a great opportunity for me to get on the board and, you know, get out there with my shotgun.
Nice. Yeah. How many different types of animals have you shot before?
Deer, bird, squirrel, rabbit, coyote, yes. Fox.
Coyote?
Yeah, killed a coyote this winter, first one.
Isn't that kind of scary? That thing could turn around and kill you if you miss.
Well, okay, I'll actually tell you a story because it is kind of a cool story. So I'm going into hunt, like, by myself, and there's, like, this really nice, like, blind that we had, like, set up in this, like, field on the left side of, like, our property. Really nice. So I'm walking there, and I'm, like, looking for the blind, and I'm, like, where the hell is this blind? Like, I'm, like, flipping out. I'm, like,
what is a blind?
Hunting in the blind. It's, like, just while I'm talking, go on to Google and look up hunting blind.
That doesn't explain to the listeners at all, but.
Deer hunting blind, and then you try to explain it. It's kind of just like a little box, like you sit in the hunt. Like it's got like chairs in it and stuff.
That's all you have to say.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going there, and I can't find it anywhere. Like I'm pissed now because it's getting late. I'm walking around like where's this blind? So I call my dad. I'm like where's the blind? And you gotta pause it, bro.
Okay.
All right, so I call my dad, and I'm on the phone with him, and I'm like, where's the blind? Like, I'm trying to hunt. And he's like, oh, yeah, Rick moved that behind the house. And I'm like, what?
Who's this
like,
Rick
yeah,
guy?
So this guy that we hunt with named Rick, he like, oh, man, personally, I'm not the biggest fan. But he like, every time we go hunting, like, I'll be out there, I'm like, yeah, I saw like two deer. He's sitting like 20 yards away from me. He's like, yo, I saw like 38. I'm like, how? Like, it's not possible. Like, he always over-exaggerates how many deer he sees, and it just pisses me off. But my dad's like, yo, he moved it behind the house.
And is he a better deer hunter than you?
He thinks he is, but who killed an 8-point buck this year and who did not? Me and Rick did not.
Oh! Okay, go on.
So I'm pissed off. Like, there's no blind. And I'm like, why would it be behind the house? And he goes, well, he's been seeing some deer back there, and he thinks he can
38
get a
deer back there.
I'm like, so you just stick this blind in a backyard when we have this huge amount of property and, like, fields. Like, what are you doing? And so, like, then I'm pissed off, and he's like, you can just sit on the ground. And I'm like, who do you think I am? Oh. So I'm like, fine, I'll sit on the ground. It's like 30
minutes. Did he just big league you?
My phone has died. There's like 20 minutes of daylight left. And I'm like, no, I quit. So I pick up my gun. I pick up my backpack. I turn around. 40 yards from me, staring at me, like right in the middle of the field, is a coyote. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, should I shoot it? And it starts like slowly walking towards me. And I wasn't like scared because it was still like 20 yards away from me. And then it stops again. I pick up my gun. Bang. It takes off into the woods. And I'm like, yeah, like, I have no idea if I actually hit it, and I didn't really care about, like, looking for it. Then, like, a couple months later, my dad, like, sends me a picture of, like, this, like, dead coyote body that's, like, half, like, dismantled. And he's like, looks like the coyote you shot. You killed it.
Oh, my God. Like, that's actually, like, there's no way you weren't scared when that happened.
I mean, a little, but, like, I've seen them in the woods before. Like, they're more scared of you than you are of them. Okay, this one time I was scared.
They say that about sharks, too.
I was mowing grass. I was mowing grass for these people that have the house where we live. And I was going across their backyard. And I went back towards, like, the woods part. And, like, there's, like, a strip, like a path that's probably, like, 5 yards in front of the woods. But it connects the two sides of woods together. And I'm, like, going towards that path. And I hear something. And coming running out. And, I mean, I'm, like, face-to-face, like, 5 feet. Like, it stops. And the coyote just looks at me. And I'm on the mower, too. So I was kind of scared. I was, like, I'm just, like, looking at this, riding, like, on top, sitting on a mower, and this coyote's, like, 5 feet from me. And, like, I didn't know what to do, and it just took off into the woods, like, thankfully, but.
Do you think.
That was the only time I've ever been scared of one.
Arian Foster said he could beat a wolf in a fight with his hands. Do you think you could?
I could beat a coyote, not a wolf.
You kind of have a rivalry with coyotes now. And you're 2-0, yeah. Too.
Well, I mean, I guess I'd say 1-0-1.
Why? Because it ran away?
Because the first one, I wouldn't say there was a winner.
You killed it.
No, the second – well, the first time was the time when it ran away. But then I got my revenge. If it was the same coyote, then I'm 1-0.
Oh. Hey, you're undefeated either way. Congratulations.
Yeah. Did you already give your clown?
Yep. We're still doing my clown somehow. I don't know how we got from hometown tribes to you fighting coyotes with your hands, but you can take a clown if you'd like. All right.
Mine is just like, I guess it's like finals week. Like, I guess my big clown is just like stress, end of the school year. Like, just everything is built up right now.
I'm going to add a clown. My clown is you not preparing a clown.
I did have this is like what I'm saying. Like, it's just like literally the most stressful time of the year. Like, finals, I had a test this morning. I have like 4 more essays to write. I got to pack up all my stuff. Go home in the morning. Like, it's just like not a fun time. It's just stressful. A lot of stuff going on.
My week does not look a lot like that. I mean, it's pretty stressful for me too. I have to do a quiz for one of my classes, but no other finals.
Yeah, I finished all my like hard tests. I just have two essays to write, I think. So yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations. Yeah. Other than that, one more case. Getting back to work. Back in the workforce.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah. Guess what? Instead of – we used to have – at my job, I used to have to wear, like, a shirt and tie to work every day. Now I'm getting a nice polo. I'm getting free polos to wear to work. So I'm excited.
When's your first day?
Tuesday.
Oh, going right tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Well, today.
Yeah. Today. Definitely today.
How's work?
Yeah. So I haven't been there yet. I'll let you know when I go there. But if you'd like to wish me
good luck. The last thing I wanted to say is – tune in this Wednesday / Thursday. We will be slightly / maybe posting one thing about this big golf tournament that's going on called the Pew Cup. It's coming down to the finals, and we've been watching it closely, and we'll let you know who wins.
We might be having the winners on.
Possibly.
The winner's circle, yeah. Other than that, though, Kevin Doyle's coming up. Enjoy. All right, we now welcome on a very special guest. He's been on many times before. I can't even count at this point. Recurring guest of the year, Kevin Doyle. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy to be back.
Happy to have you. All right, so we got to start You're currently in the transfer portal. You spent some time at Arizona, and you still have 3 years eligibility left. Where are you at with that, and how's all that going right now?
Going really well. So I had hopped in the transfer portal last Tuesday, and after talking to Coach Fish, our new head coach at Arizona, and I went through the spring, we decided that it was probably best for me to hop in the portal and grad transfer. And he was supportive of that. You know, he's helped me out throughout the way, and I have nothing but good things to say about him. But it was just, you know, time to try and get a new beginning. And luckily, when I hopped in, like, immediately I got a lot of attention. A lot of schools hitting me up. And so I'm really happy about it. And now I'm just, like, fielding calls and just seeing, you know, what's best for me. You know, I got to look at staff. I got to look at the school. Like, what would I do my master's in? There's just a lot of factors to it. And so I'm just excited to keep pushing forward and get it done soon.
Yeah, no, I just kind of wanted to give you the floor, like, to talk about the transfer portal, because, like, I feel like a lot of people don't really understand how it works. So, like, just, like, how do you enter it and, like, what goes into it?
Yeah, so you just got to go. Well, I had sat down with Coach Fish. We had known for a couple of weeks that I was going to do this because we had a conversation a couple weeks back. And basically in the transfer portal, I talked to my head coach, but you honestly don't have to. All you got to do is talk to somebody in compliance. And you told them, like, look, like, I went into the transfer portal. They say, okay, you give them like a signed form and it says, like, yes, like, I'm leaving, like, this university, and, like, and you say whether, like, you were, like, harassed, you know, like, racially, sexually, whatever, like, it says, like, why you're transferring, you know, it says, like, academically, whatever. Sign that form, and then it's kind of like saying, like, goodwill, you know, like, I'm not gonna do anything to this university about transferring. Then you honestly just sit back and wait, and then you're given, like an ID number. Like, it's really, like, weird. Like, you get, like, an ID number, your name, and I think it says your graduating class from high school. But that's really it. Like, it's not, like, not something you would see, like, where it says, like, Kevin Doyle, 6'4", you know, 225, from, like, this high school. It's nothing like that at all. It's pretty uniform and, like, really unoriginal. Like you can get lost very easily in it, which is why people do. I mean, there's like thousands of kids in the transfer portal right now that just have nowhere to go, and it's just because they get lost in there.
So where are you looking? Or you mentioned that you had a bunch of schools calling you. What are, like, your main options right now, and what kind of schools are you looking at?
Honestly, I've been looking around everywhere. I've gotten calls from, or calls, DMs, you know, follows on Twitter, a bunch of stuff from schools all over the place. Some in the West Coast, you know, I got the Mountain West Conference. I got some schools in the SEC. I got schools in the Big Ten. Then I also got FCS schools, you know, like back east, which is where, you know, I'm from. And it makes sense, honestly, to go anywhere, because after seeing Trey Lance in the draft, after seeing, you know, plenty of guys from the FCS level go ball out and go get paid, you know? So, like, it doesn't matter where you play anymore. And I think that's made that pretty clear over the past few NFL drafts, that you just got to get on the field and do well, give your team success, and then, you know, they'll find you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like the one thing that I thought was intriguing, like, you're previously committed to Michigan. Michigan's quarterback situation isn't great. Is there, like, any chance of a reunion there?
I mean, there's always a chance for everything, you know, but I've just been, like, literally fielding calls and just, like, I hear from coaches that recruited me in high school. I'm hearing from coaches that my buddies are at their schools. You know, my high school was pretty successful, so I have a lot of friends that are places, and, you know, they call me up and, like, yeah, my coach asked about you, and they're gonna, like, hit you up or stuff like that. So honestly, the football community is so small, and a lot of the people too, right, with the exception of Coach Harbaugh at Michigan, a lot of those schools that I was recruited to, like, those coaches are no longer there, and somebody else is there. And so it's such a revolving door that you can't really be like, oh, he had an offer from Michigan, or he had an offer from, let's use Pittsburgh. He had an offer from Pittsburgh, and that he's now in the portal again, so they're going to offer him again. It's like, well, that staff's not really there. You know, maybe their situation's different, but It just really depends upon like what the university is and what's the current roster looking like.
Going back a little bit, I don't know how many weeks ago it was, maybe like I'd say two from today. We saw on Instagram you met Gronk. And we also saw he broke, I think, a Guinness World Record. Is that correct?
Yeah. So what happened was he came to back to Arizona for the first time in like 10 years, right? He has never been back to Tucson, which is a lot of fun. So he came, hung out with us. And that was on Friday, I believe, he broke that Guinness World Record. So it was like the highest altitude catch, I think it was. So they had a guy go in a helicopter 600 feet in the air. I think they're like 620, I think it was actually. And they dropped the ball and he had to catch it. And it was honestly a lot of fun. Like he was all decked out, and they got him like a throwback jersey from when he played. It looked exactly like it, but it was like modern era, and he had the helmet on. And man, that guy is big.
I think only Gronk would have that idea too.
You should have volunteered to go throw the pass.
Yeah, go up in the helicopter.
Are you afraid of heights?
Yeah. No, not really afraid of heights. I could do that. but I think it was like, I think the guy who threw it was like a Air Force vet or something. Like it was like a nice thing. It was a nice thing. So like we're not gonna
take away. Come on, D-Rock.
Yeah.
taking credit away from the vets, bro.
Yeah.
My bad. I'll admit it.
Yeah, so we did that. And honestly, the first one they dropped was like nowhere near. Like it was like he was standing underneath it and the ball just like took, and like it was pretty scary. That ball's coming down fast. Like real fast. And so we ended up I think it took like four tries. I think it took overall, which wasn't bad. You know, it took like 20 minutes like to get it done. So it was a lot of fun. And he was a really cool dude, and like he's just his sayings, his mannerisms, like he's exactly as advertised. Like
yeah.
Just everything about it. He was a super cool dude. And like really it was like down to earth with all of us players and like just talking to us and like just being a normal person, honestly. And it wasn't just Gronk there too, it was all the alumni. So Teddy Bruschi was there.
Nick Foles.
Foles was not there. No, I was sad about that. Because I met Nick before, he was a really cool dude. But it was Gronk, Teddy, and Trevor Wade was there. I think Nick Folk, the kicker, was there.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was
a Cowboy.
He's a Patriot.
Yeah, he's a Patriot too.
I think.
A lot of Patriots from Arizona.
Yeah.
And so it was cool though. Great weekend. And then for our spring game, it was split up. You either team Brewski or team Gronk, and I was on Brewski actually, which is really cool. But it was just a fun weekend overall. And Gronk went out afterwards, and he was just as advertised. I'm sure you saw videos of him like spiking truly and doing all that stuff. So he was a goofball. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've grown up watching Gronk since I was like, I don't know, like 8 or 9. Like he's been like one of my favorite players for so long. Is there like anything like cool you can tell us like that people don't know about him?
Pretty cool. I mean, just his sayings. He was like, yeah, he was joking like, around. He was like when he caught the ball, right? Like I'm not sure if you saw it on my Instagram. So like I was running in, like everybody's celebrating stuff, and then everybody's like standing around him, and I was like speech, and like then I was like oh speech, and he's like oh you guys want me to say something, and we're like yeah you just broke a world record, like say something, and he was like oh you know like every day you gotta raise the bar. But the ball was here, and I raised it to here. And, like, he was just, like, everyone's just, like, getting hyped around, like, hyping him up. And he was just being a goofball, honestly. He was a really nice guy. And Friday night afterwards, we had, like, a alumni and team dinner and team meeting kind of thing. And because he was an honorary head coach, Coach Fish had him come up and speak. So Teddy Bruschi spoke Teddy spoke to him. And spoke to us, and then Rob went up, and he was like, all I know is Team Red. It was Team Gronk. He was the Red team. It's like Team Gronk's gonna win because they got Teddy Bruschi over there, this old guy who retired. He's like, he's retired. Who cares? He's like, you're washed. He's like, Team Gronk's gonna win. And he was just getting everybody fired up. It was pretty funny. But as far as like certain things, I mean, I don't really have anything. It was just
super duper dude. His brother was there.
His brother was there, Chris, who's a really good guy.
Is that the TikTok one? That's always like on TikTok.
I think he is on TikTok.
He's got like the he's like really into that one company that he took it on Shark Tank.
Yeah, I think he like owns that company.
Yeah,
his
yeah.
Brother's on Shark Tank?
His wife started it. Yeah, his like wife's he was in the NFL as like a fullback, and then his what wife the like, started this company. It's like some I don't want to be wrong. It's some protein.
It's a protein thing. Yeah, we got some of his stuff actually. It's like protein shakes or something like that.
Yeah, but he's made like so much more money from that than he ever made from football.
Yeah, it's really interesting. From what I'm told, like Gronk really like manages his money well. Like as much as like you might think he goes out or whatever, like he doesn't really do anything. Like you never see him like doing anything crazy, like rocking. Yeah. You know.
I mean, like he goes out just like every one of us, and it's not like he's spending like this insane amount of money when he has the insane amount of money.
Yeah, so it's I mean it's cool. I mean he's been a cool guy. I mean I really get to I talked to him a little bit, you know. I got to hang out with him. But I mean we weren't like, you know, sit down having a coffee or nothing, you know.
Yeah. All right, I want to pivot a little bit towards the NFL draft since that happened recently. We saw a big run on quarterbacks early in the first round, 5 being taken. I think the Patriots took the last one with Mac Jones at, what was it, Travis, 15, right?
15, yeah.
Yeah, 15. I'm just kind of curious. There's a lot of questions among where each quarterback would go. What your power rankings would be of the 5
I want you to rank them, like, 1 through 5, like, 1, who's going to have the best NFL career.
Oh, I thought this was my question.
Yeah, but I want it to be, like, based on, like, who's going to have the best NFL career.
So, like, just on the person, not, like, where they got drafted and all that, right?
I said just
No, where they got drafted, like the situation that they were put in, and
because all right, so from what I remember, Trevor went 1. I think Trevor, I think Trevor will be really good. I think that he'll do well, and I think it'll be tough to do in Jacksonville, just because it's Jacksonville, and you know it's a tough organization. I mean, the boat got him there, like Bortles. So I mean, hopefully they can figure it out. They can figure it out.
I think Lawrence Tebow is going to be electric.
You think that's going to happen?
I'd love to see it happen. I mean, who wouldn't want to see Tim Tebow reunite with Urban Meyer?
That's true.
They live 3 doors. Doors down the street.
Trevor Lawrence has like a sore pointer finger, and he's like, all right, Tim, you're going to head out there this week.
Yeah, exactly. It's just going to be the quickest thing, and Tim's just hoping.
Riley Cooper is going to be back on the roster.
Oh, God. He's canceled. He can't come back. He is canceled.
One of the best Florida teams.
Brandon Spikes.
One of the best college Spikes, football teams in history.
The Pouncey Twins.
Yeah, I mean the amount of just criminals on that team. Aaron. Guys have been charged with stuff, and then you got their Lord and Savior Tim Tebow as his captain. I'm like, how does this all work? And then, do you know who else was there during that time? It was Dan Bilzerian.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I would have loved to have a camera crew in that locker room, or maybe just the entire university for that year.
Just, like that's a hot take, man.
Whatever. That could be a great show.
And then who else was there? Joakim Noah.
Oh yeah,
Joakim Noah was there. There's a lot of people.
They won like
Mario Chalmers
and football championship.
Mario Chalmers.
Wasn't he a Kansas guy?
Yeah.
Like 95% sure Mario Chalmers won.
Sorry, wrong guy, Dugan.
Yes, yeah, I totally got that wrong. They played each other in the championship.
All right, back to the draft. I want these power rankings.
Yeah, so we got Trevor at 1, who went 1. I think he'll do well. I could put him as like having the most successful career, but
okay.
I don't know. That's not as fun, so we'll keep him around. And then 2 was Zach Wilson. I think he's talented.
I think everyone wants to say the butt, but I think he's going to be
really
good.
Saying butt.
I'll say butt. But, like, you know, you can make the argument for both. So I'll make the argument for butt right now. So, but, you know, like, he's – I'm not sure how he's going to do in New York, being from where he's coming from. That's a lot of lights and a lot of pressure. And to go from, you know, being a little Mormon in Utah, that's going to be a lot. So we'll see how that goes, but he's got some talent. He is smaller. There's a lot of butts you could do.
Looks like he's 14. There's a lot of things on there.
Good looking.
That video of him too. Like when he's taking the pictures with some of the top picks, like a couple of receivers and stuff.
Yeah, he looks so scared.
looks so scared. I'm like, oh god.
I'm trying to find the one where he looks, where he's like taking the mirror selfie. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, that's on everything. They said, like, somebody from Barstool said that it looks like he's going to a Pike formal.
Yeah, and yeah.
That was pretty funny. But I do think, though, if Zach Wilson is as advertised, like, you can look at it and say, look, like, Trevor had success and he had, like, all these great running backs, all these great receivers, you know, Amari Rodgers, a lot of great names, right? But then it's like Zach Wilson, his top target was Hunter Romney, right? What's his name?
Milane.
Yeah, well, him, but also, too, like, Hunter Romney, right? The receiver.
I'm not sure. Did that guy get drafted, that Dax guy? He was, like, good.
The tight end?
No, he was the receiver. The guy receiver you're thinking of is Dax. Dax Milane? No, I'm
100% positive it's a Romney because it's Mitt Romney's, like, nephew.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I'm 1,000%. It's like
Utah's a small state.
Yeah. But right. I think if Zach can do what he did at BYU with that talent and that, you know, just scheme and everything else, I think that maybe the Jets could work out. But it'll be interesting to see. Then who went three? Oh, Trey Lance.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen enough. Yeah, I haven't seen enough.
His hairline.
Tough look.
Red flag.
Real tough look.
You know, inside scoop, he's dating Colin Cowherd's daughter.
Yeah, I did know that. Yeah, he's dating Liv.
Yeah.
Wow.
The queen of Twitter.
North Dakota.
The queen of Twitter. She is something else. Like,
have you ever seen her? She went to Arizona State.
I know. She's went to Tempe. She went to Tempe. Yeah, so we she just the replies there, but then I remember seeing like somebody made like a video about Colin Cowherd like doing an impression and being like, how is he gonna like bash Trey Lance when he plays shitty? Or like, is he gonna like bash?
I think conflict of interest.
Yeah, I think Colin literally said at one point in time, he was like, yeah, you know, Trey's, you know, stayed on my couch a few times and like he's a good kid and stuff like that. And at first I was like, wait, what is he talking about? Like, is that like a metaphor? And then like then I actually looked it up, I'm like, oh wait, he's dating his daughter. Like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah,
they should get like on the Shannon Sharp show with Colin Cowherd. I think it's called like Undisputed. I think they should get like a penalty box. So like Colin has to go into the penalty box so like he can't speak on the topic. Like if it ever comes up, just a hypothetical.
Wait, doesn't Colin do the herd by himself? Yeah. Or
wait, is that show gone?
Taylor, no,
Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp.
Yeah, you're.
Wow, I'm you're off today. I'm sorry.
No, it's Mario like Chalmers. The herd with Joy Taylor.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, he's doing that.
Oh, Colin.
Yeah, Colin's by himself, just yapping away, I think.
And then Fields to the Bears.
That would be cool. I think the Bears lucked out there. I think it's a good pick for the Bears. I think Justin will do well. I mean, I really don't have anything bad to say about anybody. Interesting pick though is like later. I mean, then I think Mac is gonna do well at the Patriots because I think that going from Saban to Belichick, I think that'll be good for him. I don't know about system wise, but I mean, just like.
Well, if he does well, he'll just be a system quarterback. That's all he'll ever be.
Is that
just like good Brady. In New England? That's all you just are. Like just like Brady, a system quarterback. Yeah.
If he's a system quarterback, then is Cam a system quarterback?
No, because like, if you have any success there, yeah. If you have any success in New England, you're automatically just a section quarterback or a system quarterback. It's so easy for people to attack, like, oh, like you played for Bill Belichick, like you have this easy offense, Josh McDaniels, like that's why you're good. And they did it to Brady until like Brady obviously proved them wrong this year. So like,
I don't know if he's proven wrong yet. He needs to be surrounded by talent or a good defense. What was I gonna say? Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know. Mac Jones, I think he'll be good in New England. I just feel like his ceiling is a lot lower than a lot of other guys, but maybe his floor is also higher. So maybe it might just be a safe pick. I still think you kind of got Bones not getting Fields. I think that would have been the move that maybe created another dynasty in New England if there was to be one.
Do you trust him enough as a passer?
Who? Fields?
Fields, yeah.
I do. I think he's very talented. I don't think it's going to work out with the Bears. Like, that's a bad situation.
Yeah. I think he'll do fine with the Bears.
There's Foles, Dalton. Like Dalton thinks he's the starter.
Fields, well, they gotta get rid of somebody. One of them's got
Pace and Nagy are idiots. like the organization, I just don't think, like, I think it's just going to blow up in their face.
Yeah, they're having a tough time.
All right.
Quarterbacks over there.
Let's all give like our rankings based on how many Super Bowls they'll win. I'll go first. Mac Jones at one, Zach Wilson at two, Trevor Lawrence at three,
Zach Wilson at
Justin
two,
Justin Fields at four, and Trey Lance at five.
I'm gonna
four Super Bowls.
I'm gonna go a completely different way. I'm gonna say, I'll give Trey Lance one, just because I think he has a better team around him. Trevor Lawrence two. Hopefully they build that up someday. It's always more fun when Jacksonville's good. I'd say Field three. I'm just gonna put Mac Jones in last, and then I guess Zach Wilson will be tied in last with him because I don't think either of them do anything.
I honestly can't even fathom any of these guys winning Super Bowls right now except Mac Jones.
Let's go. System
quarterback.
But it's because he's on the Patriots. I just don't – I can't see –
Mac Jones to Hunter Henry is going to be electric.
But if you were to say Pro
Bowls – Pro Bowls
is a different
game. All
right, yeah.
Trevor Lawrence is going to dominate that.
You give me Pro Bowls.
All right. Pro Bowls-wise, like who makes the most Pro Bowls, I would say Trevor Lawrence won.
If Trevor Lawrence wins six games this year, he goes to the Pro Bowl no matter what.
You think so?
No.
Yeah. The rookie – like the number one pick always goes to the Pro Bowl. Like the first quarterback, Trubisky went to a Pro Bowl
as a rookie.
No, I think it was that year.
It was the second year.
Trubisky also won the Nickelodeon award too, like
the MVP.
The slime MVP. Award or something. Like
the MVP.
Was the MVP.
The MVP, yeah. I would say yeah. So I would say Trevor, number one, like Pro Bowl wise, number one Pro Bowl wise, I would say two would be Mac. I think Mac. And then three, Justin Fields. Four, Zach Wilson. Five, Trey Lance.
Yeah, I mean, if the quarterback who plays in college and knows the system is saying that Mac Jones is the only one that can win a Super Bowl, like that just tells you something.
And I would say Justin Fields too. If he was on the Patriots, I'd say the same thing about Trey Lance. If he was on the Patriots, I just think that the Patriots right now, like people, like it's only been a year or two since they've been removed from, you know, the throne. So I mean, and as long
they
as
the Belichick
is there, I never feel comfortable counting them out.
Any sleeper quarterbacks, guys that were taken maybe second round or later?
Yeah, I saw some guys go off the board. Like I saw Davis Mills went to the Texans, I believe.
You know, Davis Mills has one like tweet on Twitter, and it's it's like so funny. Let me pull it up. It's like, I saw it like right after he got drafted. It went viral. He liked one tweet ever in his
career. I think I knew that.
Yeah,
he was the number one pick.
Oh, he removed it. He took it away after it went viral. It was like
it bad.
No, it wasn't. It was, like, funny. It was, like, if a girl over 5'10 asked to cuddle, I'm going to be like, nah, you should be on the basketball court or something.
That was just on a tweet?
That, actually, at a high school, I think. Or maybe it was Trevor. Maybe it was even Mac, actually. But
no, here it is. He had one, like, tweet from December 14th, 2014. Girls over 5'10 saying, I need cuddles. Nah, fam, you need to run this real route. We're down by 7.
that's funny. There was one kid, I forget who it was, like a high level recruit that had like a liked tweet, and it was like some porn something. I don't know. It was hilarious. So like, I think it was like it didn't get picked up by the mainstream media, but it was like a couple of people noticed it and they wrote about it. I forget who it was though, but it was pretty funny. It wasn't anything too graphic. It was just like something stupid. I don't know. But
yeah.
I'm trying to think of names that went later, like who was out of the top five?
Yeah,
QBs. Oh, Kyle Trask, he might do pretty well.
Learning from Brady,
yeah, he's gonna be in Tampa.
You think there's a quarterback battle there this offseason?
No, yeah. Like you could try and get that one going, D-Rock, but you can't, like, it's just Tom Brady. Like, good luck battling him or with anything. Like, I don't think Kyle Trask is a quarterback. Like, if you're Kyle Trask, you're like, sick, I got 2 years.
Yeah, like, I'd be so happy. You just get to sit behind Tom and learn.
Yeah, exactly. And then, well, my question for you guys, I guess, is do you think that Justin Fields, how many games has he played this year? We'll set the bar over under 2.5.
Over. Way over. How was he going to say over 10?
You think he's going to, like, come out and start right away?
I think
either that or a couple of games.
Yeah. Like,
they'll be like 1-3 at
there's no way you can watch Andy Dalton and just be like, we have Justin Fields on the bench and not.
Whoa, you mean AD-14?
AD.
The Red Rocket.
But I mean, like, you can't tell me that if they lose, if they have a losing record after the four bye. Games.
Oh, four games. Not even the bye?
Just no, wait till no. the bye. I'd say no, wait till when's the bye.
It depends when the bye is.
Let's just, I don't know when the bye is. Let's call it like week 9.
If it's week 9, I'd say they make a move before that.
I don't know. If they're like 2-4, I think they make the move.
Bias don't start till like week 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they're like 2-4 at week 6, I think they make the move.
2-4 is, yeah.
It depends on play. Like, there's so many like different circumstances. Yeah, how about this?
Yeah, I think once you bring him in, it's tough to kick him out. Yeah, I mean, you could always bench him, but like benching someone like that is just psychologically, like, could be career altering, you know?
Andy Dalton?
No. The rookie. No.
The rookie, yeah. I think Andy's
a great. No, once you put him in, you don't bench him. One of the biggest mistakes, I think. One of the biggest mistakes I think Miami made, like, this year was, like, they'd be in close games and, like, they'd just pull Tua. Like, how does that help a rookie's quarterback's confidence? Like, you knew you weren't going to win the Super Bowl this year. Like, let Tua go through it and finish these games.
But that's what he's saying. He's saying you have to give him time, so it's not like if you put him in week 6 and he, like, sucks for, like, the first 4 games, then you leave him in a spot where you – yeah, but then he's just, like, sucking more. Like, I feel like either way at that point, it just hurts his confidence worse and worse.
I don't know. I think Fields has, like the athleticism and just, like, the electric ability. Even if he sucks, he's going to have, like, 2 or 3 plays a game where they're like, oh, like, look at that. He's showing flashes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he'll make, like, some crazy, like, spin throw for, like, 10 yards. And they'll be like, wow, like, if he could just do that every play.
Well, yeah, I think everybody's going to have flashes, but it's just going to have to be the consistency part of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about this? Cowboys and Eagles, we actually traded this year.
Wild.
I don't think we've ever actually traded, but it worked out for us. I think it worked out for you. So, virtual handshake, man.
Yeah, we'll keep it professional. Let's keep it moving, you know? But it was weird seeing, like, that draft order. It was like, what ended up being, like, 9, 10, 11 or something. It was like, right. It was Cowboys, Giants, Eagles.
Yeah.
Right.
We had 10. Then I think.
Yeah, Giants, it was Cowboys, 11, Giants, Eagles.
Then you guys had 12.
Yeah. It was weird. I was like,
I was actually kind of heartbroken. I wanted Surtain or at least Horn pretty bad. And then once we were put in that spot, I wanted to go Micah, but I guess picking up that 3rd round pick, we didn't get a great grade. I don't really care that much about the grades, but a lot of people didn't love our 3rd round picks. I don't know. Overall, it wasn't a great draft for the Cowboys, but it was just another good year, I guess.
It seems like the Cowboys, like, did okay with their draft. But I don't understand why the Eagles felt so strongly to jump the Cowboys, unless the Cowboys
were the Giants were going to pick DeVonta Smith.
You think so? They weren't going
to Micah? Yeah, they said that. They came out and said that. That's why they traded back. If they don't do that, the Cowboys probably pick – I say they still pick Parsons. The Giants pick Smith. The Eagles, who knows what they do. Maybe they trade back or they go defense or something. It. Yeah, they botch it. And then who was after them? Who was 13?
Why does 13 matter?
I don't know, because I saw today that, like, whoever picked 13, I don't think they were picking a quarterback.
Chargers,
that
I think.
Yeah. If Fields would have been there for 14, the Vikings were going to take him. I mean, I think that would have been a great fit, too. Like, sitting behind, like, Kirk Cousins for a year, and, like, Minnesota's such a good place, just, like, good defense, good running back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. But, yeah.
Are you not happy with Smith?
No, I'm happy with it. I would have been upset if we didn't get anybody but him, if he was available, you know. So if he got picked early, I'd have been like, okay. But no, I like Devontae. I mean, how do you not pick the Heisman Trophy winning receiver? You know,
I'd rather have Waddle than Smith.
But yeah, but Waddle was gone, so it's like, yeah. Okay, you know, don't cry over spilt milk. Yeah. Also, I loved his like get up and like walk away after he got drafted from his family.
Who, Waddle? Yeah,
that was so funny. He just
turned.
That was
him really and like Jamar Chase might be the swaggiest like trip in like the NFL.
Yeah, Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase is gonna be good, I think. And I think that was a cool pick by the Bengals early on to go get him and you know, reunite him and Joe, and that makes everything so much easier because then you minimize the risk of Jamar Chase being a bust or not being as impactful early because he's familiar with Joe, and like. They already have like connection, like physically now. It's just gonna be mentally. They have to figure it out on the field with his just the playbook. But other than that, it just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I actually saw going back to the Eagles. You guys are really set up for the 2022 pick. I saw you guys had, I think, a couple firsts, a couple seconds, a couple thirds.
Yeah, we have two firsts. We could potentially have. Wait, no. So the rule, I think what it is, you have one first rounder, and then we have two second rounds. But the one of the second rounders is a conditional pick with the Colts that if Carson plays over 75% of the snaps, then we'll get a first rounder. But if he does plays under that, like he gets hurt, for instance, like he always does, then it could be a second round pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of thought you guys would be out of it for a lot longer, but I'm starting to think that you guys might be back in the race soon. I don't even know what to think of the NFC East at this point.
Yeah, no, I think we're all in the race now. Like, that's the thing. Like,
you think you're in the race?
I think everybody's
– I don't think you're in the race. Yeah, I think
– Or the football team.
Yeah, whatever. But, like, I don't know. Like, there's no team that has any, like –
Like, you have to make a case for me right now why the Eagles aren't in the race. Like, what are they so far?
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I think the Cowboys have the most skill of any – I think the Cowboys and Giants have the most skill of the teams. But at the same time, I also think those two teams are also great at blowing talent. So,
I think the best way to put it –
The Eagles are the winningest team in that division. Like, I think that, you know – 17-17 game, 2 minutes left. I trust the Eagles to win that game more than I do the Lions or the Giants or Cowboys, honestly. Like, you think about it, like every close game the Eagles have had where they needed to beat the Colts to get in the playoffs. Or, I'm sorry, not the Colts. Beat the Cowboys to get into the playoffs, like they do. Yeah, every time they have to play the Giants, they beat them. You know, so like you can say like whatever, like I'd be biased as an Eagles fan, but it's just statistically looking at it, it makes sense.
I guess that makes sense. I don't know. I think it just kind of depends where we're at come week 16, 17, whatever.
All right. I'm good with football talk. I just wanted to ask Kevin, like, is there any last things you want to do in Arizona before you leave?
I got to go see the Grand Canyon. I have not done
it. You haven't seen it yet?
No. It's a hike. It's like four and a half away from here.
Maybe if you actually live in Arizona, like, it's worth going to. I don't see the point, and I live in Connecticut. I don't see the point in flying cross country. Like, I feel like I'm going to show up. I'm going to get there. I'm going to stand over it. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to be like, wow, that's really cool for like maybe like 10 minutes. And then I'm going to be like, why did I just get a flight to Arizona? Like, I could have gone anywhere else, and I'm standing looking at a bunch of rocks.
Isn't it one of the wonders of the world, though?
Yeah. So? Wow, dude. Have some culture. Cool. It's the Grand Canyon. My mom really wants to go. No, my mom really wants to go. I think we might go this summer.
It's pretty – I mean, first off, Arizona is beautiful.
Like, just great. Look, yeah. It's just beautiful. Wise, some like people can't appreciate that.
Yeah, like, I mean, so from campus here, there's a bunch of, like, lookout points and, like, hiking and stuff. Like, it's pretty cool. And, like, 20 minutes away is a place called Gates Pass. That's really cool. Go there sometimes. Like, you always see, like, girls on Instagram, like, posting pictures from there, like, hikes. And it's, like
– I bet you do, Kevin.
Yeah. Just I mean I go for the scenery. I don't know why everybody else goes. but no, it's cool. And then there's a couple of mountains around here. It actually gets snowy. Like you can like actually see snow in Arizona like it'll be cold. Like, I think the Grand Canyon? Not the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, dude, like, any, like, mountain peak, like, even in, like, California, like, they'll be, like, snowing it, like, year-round.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, I was literally – I think it was, like, 80 degrees or something like that, like, here one time. And we went up to the mountain, and it went to, like, 55, like, at the highest. And we were, like, mile in the air. Like, it was pretty crazy. I was like, holy crap. Like, this is high. Yeah. But
Dugan's such an indoor cat. He knows nothing about the outdoors.
I mean, How about this?
Next time you fly across the country to go to the Grand Canyon Chives, how about you FaceTime me, and it'll be like I was there too.
No, it's not. Like, you have to be there.
You do feel small. You do feel hella small when you're around, like, mountains like that. Like, I haven't been to the Grand Canyon.
I can bench 195. I don't think I'll feel small.
This is true. I can bench 185.
This is true. This is true.
Kevin, what can you bench? What can you bench?
What can I bench? I haven't. No.
Every quarterback says that.
Yeah. No, I could do 225. I could do 225.
Yeah, I think if you give me a week, I can max at 200.
That is no. That's
yes, it is, dude. I swear. I'm only 15 pounds away. I lifted today.
There you go. The end of the day. Wait.
You spotted today. I don't think you
looked. And then I did a few rounds of bench press.
Whatever. All right. That's tough.
But I want to go to Grand Canyon. I want to go to Scottsdale more. Scottsdale's a lot of fun. That's where you'll see like OBJ, Saquon, all those guys are always hanging around. Like DK Metcalf, Manziel's out there. Mike Studd. They're all
hanging out. Their podcast. Yeah,
see him out there. Yeah.
Yeah, that podcast.
Balls Don't Lie. Cool. I'll blur that out.
I gave that a listen. That was pretty cool. Especially playing for Coach Sumlin and hearing the stories I hear about Johnny and hearing his side of it. It's pretty interesting.
That is crazy. Like, you have really been like committed to Harbaugh, played for Sumlin, who coached Manziel, Mick Gronk, and Brewski.
Yeah, now I played for Jed Fish, who coached in the Super Bowl with Jared Goff and McVay.
Yeah.
You know, like, the whole lineage. That's why the football world is so small. Like, just everybody knows everybody, and, like, it's like 3 degrees of separation, basically, with everybody. It's really cool.
That is kind of weird. I never really realized, like, you see everyone on TV, and everyone's just spaced out, and you always forget about everyone's past. Like, I feel like almost every coach, like, already has a relationship with every other guy on the other sideline.
I was watching the Phillies game last night. And
what did you see that game?
I watched the entire
thing. Oh my gosh. How was that? I'm a huge Phillies fan. That killed me.
That was tough. But I remember at one point, like, Bryce Harper stole second, and the guy was, like, trying to tag him out, but, like, Bryce, like, knocked the ball out of his hand, like, jokingly or whatever. Like, the player was already dead. And the announcers were like, oh, like, Bryce and so-and-so, like, clearly know each other. Like, I think Bryce is from Vegas, and I think this guy played in Vegas, like, trying to figure out the connection. And I'm thinking to myself, like, everybody just knows everybody from, like, being around. Like, you could very well just, like, have met each other at, like, high school camp, you know? Like, yeah. I had met, like, that's how I met Mac, was at, like, a football event when we were, like, sophomores in high school. Like, I was a sophomore. He was, yeah. I was a freshman going to be a sophomore. He was a sophomore going to be a junior. We hung out for 3 days. That's how we met each other. But, like, that'll never show up on, like, a draft. Like, nobody from TV would ever know to that, because it's, like, it was a freshman year in high school thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's, like, everybody knows each other from somewhere or has the same idea. You know what I mean? We all kind of know each other.
So were you mad that you weren't at his draft party?
Yeah. I was very upset. I wrote him a letter. No. But he was in New York, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was there. No, he was there.
Yeah, he was
there.
Dude,
don't you – every, like, 5 minutes, they showed him in that blue suit just, like, waiting for the call.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I want to bring up something someone said to – I think he texted me. He probably texted Chives, too. Mac Jones is, like, what Chives aspires to be. They have, like, the same walk. I don't think they really look like each other, but I just feel like – I mean, he plays for your team now. I can't really describe it over this, but you guys have, like, the same walk.
I guess, man. I don't know.
Yeah, same build.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably bench the same.
Has he got skinny?
No.
Or, like, at least improved his shape?
No. I don't think so. But he does. He lifts. I would say he's probably got you in the bench.
Yeah, no, I definitely would hope so if he's my quarterback.
What was I going to say? Okay, last thing I was going to leave you on. I know you're big into, like, the whole sightseeing thing. I just wanted to let you know that at Penn State, we've got some great mountains around us. Mount Nittany, if you're into hiking slash taking over at quarterback for us. So make sure to weigh that. But, yeah. Anyways,
well, yeah, I mean, I just wanted to end. I just wanted to end with making you an official offer to become an Nittany Lion.
And I can appreciate that. You know, I gotta
authorize us to do that.
Yeah,
will publicly bash Sean Clifford if you commit here.
If I commit, that's all it takes, huh?
Which we haven't done before at all.
Yeah, you guys ran Will out of town. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, he's been scared to come on our podcast ever since he left.
Yeah, you ran him out. Now he's at Kentucky.
It should be Clifford running out, but.
Yeah. Okay. So you got one, you know, I think Will do great at Kentucky. But yeah, I mean, you got to take care of the Sean thing. Figure out Sean and then let me know, because
I know how they feel about him. Like, I know they love him.
Well, yeah, that's why Will left, and it seems kind of screwy.
Why Tommy left?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like.
It's crazy. They love these guys that, like, are not winners. Like, I love Trace McSorley. Like, I love him. But he – I mean, like, he can only get them so far.
That's the –
Like, you need the guy that is the first-round draft pick, like, comes in and, like, wins. Like, I wanted, like, Caleb Williams, like, so badly. Like, we were, like, up there, like, his final five. And then, like, obviously we never get him.
Yeah, it's just the side of college football people don't really see.
Yeah.
You know, they put it in, like, an ominous, like, sleazy way.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, why you see so many transfers and, like, you know, just the stuff goes on and why you see staffs get fired. And it's just things go on behind closed doors that the public doesn't see, no one really know about. And, yeah, that's also just the craziness of it. That's kind of what makes you love it and also makes you hate it. Like, it's just – a lot of things go on that people don't know about, and everywhere, you know, and whether it's for good or for bad, it's just what happens with programs. That's why you see some programs always doing well and other programs are cursed and, you know, they can't get out of the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think kind of, I guess to end it on like a kind of serious note, you're definitely right there. We'll work on the Clifford thing. We just recently got, one of our draft prospects. On it.
He was given like the award for like best spring player in like the spring practice.
I've heard off the record from people who don't want to be named, from other people who don't want to be named, that he still sucks in practice. But
I didn't expect anything to change. Like, that's the whole thing. I'm saying, like, how Penn State is. I'm gonna go DM Franklin right after this and say offer Kevin Doyle, but it's not gonna do anything.
Yeah,
you get that done. I'll give you my full permission to do that. You know, you guys can be my
agents.
My calls. Yeah. If you can be my agent. Sure. That
unpaid
works.
Agents. Cause I don't want no NCAA stuff.
Yeah. I don't want to
volunteer basis.
I'm already battling the wall.
I'll pay you in compliments.
Okay. We'll take that.
One nice thing a day. One nice thing a day.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
We'll start tomorrow.